Randy, there is a hair in my martini. I need something to get it out with. Well, yeah, I could use that, but... God damn it. Here. How about this dirty paper clip that I have no idea where it's been? Alright, hair retrieval was it looked like a pubic hair. I think it was Clarence Thomas. You can scream, shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, and motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold them tight. Shove your head up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, I am the motherfucker who's got a martini and a microphone. I am right, and you are wrong. So fuck you if you don't fucking like it. It's been a busy day here at the Cynical Libertarian Society. Not doing anarcho-capitalist stuff. I've been working on editing photography. I got a photography thing I have to get done. And this is the Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. Oh yeah. Thanks to the magic of the internet. Stating the Obvious podcast, which is released under Creative Commons. You can redistribute this podcast all you want, because every time you redistribute this podcast, every time you share this podcast on social media, every time you let somebody else know about this podcast and they listen to it, that is one more bullet into the body of statism. Every time you share this podcast, you are contributing to the death of statism. Every time you give me Bitcoin, you are contributing to the death of statism. Give me Bitcoin, you selfish, greedy motherfuckers. I am the Great One himself from the Cynical Libertarian Society. I'm the founder and the main espouser of CLSology. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. The theme song is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour off his 1984 album About Face. In the control room over there on the other side of the glass is the lovely and adorable Randy. Today is July, right? Yes, July the 20th. 2014, and I believe we're all dead already, because the Mayans predicted we were all going to die, and of course Mayans are politically correct, so it must be true. And of course we're also dead from the Y2K disaster that happened when, you know, the year 2000 hit and all the computers freaked out and everybody died in elevators and all the nuclear missiles launched themselves. And of course, starting back in 1980, we all died and starved to death because Paul Ehrlich predicted in his, I believe it was his first book he wrote in the 70s, that everybody would be dying of starvation by the 80s. And then of course he wrote a book in the 80s that said we'd all be starving of starvation as opposed to starving of other things, that we would be dying of starvation in the 90s. And then of course we were supposed to die of starvation, according to Paul Ehrlich, in the 2000s. And then in 2010, we once again all died of starvation. So it should be soon. Paul Ehrlich's next book should come out saying that we're all going to die of starvation starting in 2020. And of course, those of you out there who are global warming, wacko, tree-hugging, stupid, cock-sucking socialist motherfuckers will buy it and believe everything in there, because you're not smart enough to recognize a pattern. That's why you're statist. And I have a martini and you don't. Or maybe you do. If you do have a martini, good for you. If you don't have a martini, stop this podcast and go mix yourself a martini. It was a hot, shitty day here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. And now that I've started recording, thank you, Randy. And the email address, if you want to get in contact with us, you can send us hate mail, you can send us love mail, you can send us comments, whatever. You can send us naked pictures of yourself, especially if you are attractive. Blondie. I just called you Blondie. Randy, she's actually not blonde, say, Randy likes tall, blonde men with nice muscles, but not overly muscular, and I prefer slim-built volleyball girls who don't have giant breasts. You heard that right. Do not have giant breasts and don't have tattoos and piercings all over the place. So, yes, if you fall in those categories, send us naked pictures. Did I miss anything else? Yes, other than my brain and my sanity. Good. Every once in a while, I get everything straight. It looks like it might rain and storm. I got the window open. We'll see how that goes. Of course, naturally, this happens at the point where I go to record, because I've been sitting in the hot, in a hot room all day long doing photo editing, because I've got to get this photo edit done. And I'd really love to be outside right now, but I've also got to get this recorded so I can get back to photo editing, and I've got to write, Randy, don't let me forget, I've got to write a fucking blog post for tomorrow. No, not for that site. Oh yeah, here comes the wind. No, right, for the other side. Alright, hang on. The wind is coming through the window. I gotta weigh shit down. Yes, I know what you're saying. You could say, hey, great one, you could close the fucking window and then the wind wouldn't come in. No, I want the fucking wind in here. It'll cool the place off. Plus, as I mentioned before, I hate being in a closed room. All right, let me focus, because otherwise, there's the deal. I've told Randy about this, she'll kill me, but it's okay. This is either going to be a longer than normal edition of Stating the Obvious, or it's going to be two parts, because I have a list of things I want to talk about. And as we all know, I'm really good at staying on topic. So the odds of me getting through this in 52 minutes are about zero, especially since we're 7 minutes into the fucking cast, and I haven't actually started talking about any of it. So let's get started. A couple of podcasts ago, I mentioned that I needed to listen to Rush Limbaugh to hear what he's saying these days. Well, I did it. Last week, I actually remembered, and I listened to Rush Limbaugh. 3 hours, I listened to Rush Limbaugh. Here are my observations. Here's what Rush talked about. He talked about the Liberal Democrats. Hold on, excuse me. I haven't been talking much today, and of course, I did not do vocal warm-ups because, you know, God forbid I actually fucking vocal warm-up before doing a podcast because I'm a dumbass. Rush Limbaugh talked about the Liberal Democrats want to install in grocery stores some kind of computerized speaker system on shopping carts that will guide food stamp recipients to the healthy food. Now let me say that again. Let me paint this picture for you. Let's say you are a food stamp recipient because you went to college for, oh, I don't know, English literature or African American studies or feminist theory or puppetry or international relationships or communications. So you don't have a job and you can't get a job because you don't have any useful skills that anybody will actually pay you money for. And so therefore you vote Democrat. And thus the Democrats have to keep you alive so that you will continue voting Democrat. So thus you receive food stamp benefits, which means you get free food, which isn't actually free, it's paid for by heterosexual white men who work for a living. So you go into the grocery store with your food stamp card and you get the grocery cart. And on this grocery cart, there is an electronic device with a speaker on it. And somehow or another, and I don't know how this would work, But somehow or another, the electronic device knows that you're a food stamp recipient. Perhaps it has a sensor on it that can detect the smell of failure that is oozing from every pore of your body. And so this device will say to you, go 5 meters, turn left, go. Oh, sorry, you don't know what a meter is because you're a Democrat. Go 5 yards, turn left, go north 15 yards, get box of rice cakes. So there'll be a little computer device that will guide food stamp recipients to the healthy food. As Rush Limbaugh said, perhaps the real solution here is to just make it so that you can't buy things like carbonated sugar water and candy with food stamps, since it's all electronic now on debit cards. And of course, the anarcho-capitalist solution would be eliminate food stamps. I also forgot to mention when I said that this podcast will be going long or will be a two-parter, that this entire podcast is going to be me talking about media. So we're talking about Limbaugh, then I'm going to talk about some books, I'm going to do some book reading, we're going to discuss, I'm going to talk about some movies and some TV shows. Some of this will involve anarcho-capitalism, some of it will not. So just so you know, if you hate listening to me talk about books, movies, and television series, then you want to just stop now, because that's pretty much all this is going to be about. It will come back to ANCAPism. Some of it will, but that's what all this is going to be about. Apparently, also, I'm looking at my notes and trying to Rush Limbaugh, in a moment of his brilliance, said that he was talking about eating healthy, which is hilarious because Rush Limbaugh's fat. So he was on this topic of eating healthy, yada yada, and he was saying something about people want to control other people's diets and make them eat healthy, and Limbaugh said something to the effect of, you shouldn't eat too much fruit because fruit has sugar in it, and if you eat too much fruit, you can get diabetes. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I have a theory. Here's my theory. My theory is, technically it's a thesis, not a theory. My thesis is that in order to get diabetes from the sugar in fruit, you'd have to eat a shit ton of fruit. Nobody eats that much fucking fruit. I challenge you. Show me someone who ate so much fruit that they got diabetes from the sugar in the fruit. I'm not going to say it's impossible, because it's not impossible. I'm just going to say it's implausible. I wish I could remember what the hell 40%, 20%, 3% means. Ooh, thunder. I remember what the 3% is. Apparently, according to the Center for Disease Control, released some information saying that 3% of the population self-identifies as homosexual or bisexual. And Rush talked about that for quite a while because, of course, the GLBTXYZMNY/097PZ crowd would love you to believe that 10% or more of the population is homosexual or bisexual. And of course, I know this number is wrong because all women, as I've said before and will continue to say, all women are bisexual. A lot of them don't know it, but I guarantee you they are. So anyhow, Centers for Disease Control, which is tracking sexuality for some unknown reason, has released statistics that say 3% of the population is homosexual or bisexual. The 40% and 20%, I do not fucking remember what those were because my notes suck. Now, that led us to the most fun part of the Rush Limbaugh show. Well, I'll do this part first. I also noticed listening to the commercials on Rush Limbaugh The commercials played during the Rush Limbaugh show is hilarious because they're either trying to sell you gold and silver because the economy is going to melt down, and then there's Glenn Beck coming on talking about some real estate agent in Fort Collins who will sell your house and guarantees it, and he's the real estate agent that Glenn Beck would use if Glenn Beck were selling a house here in Fort Collins, because I'm sure Glenn Beck has sold a lot of houses that he owns here in Fort Collins. And buy gold and silver, because when the economy collapses, gold and silver will retain their value. Which, as I've said before, actually, they won't. If the economy collapses sufficiently, they will not. Because the only reason gold and silver are valuable is because people want them. If the economy collapses to the point where people are shooting each other in the street for food, nobody's going to give a fuck about gold and silver. Gold and silver will effectively be worthless. So gold and silver are okay investments. You also have to remember, though, that gold and silver, to such an extent, because they're controlled by the state, right? I mean, if the government of the United States, for example, takes a large amount of gold and dumps it into circulation to sell it off to get money to pay for a war or killing people or prison industrial complex or whatever it may be, that the fact that that happens is going to drive down the price of gold. So gold, you know, gold is certainly more financially stable than fiat currency, but gold is not the end all be all. As I've said before, the best thing to have is guns and ammunition, because those will always be valuable. And of course, clean water, water purification systems, and food. Not just food, but the means to produce food. When the apocalypse comes, people who own chickens and goats and cattle, yeah, food. Food. People who have gardens, food. The highlight of the Rush Limbaugh show, if such a thing could be said to exist, well, I guess the end of the Rush Limbaugh show would be a highlight. Rush is talking about the homosexual thing, the 3%, and a woman calls in, and she does the usual, "Oh, Rush, I love you," blah, blah, blah. She says, "And by the way, I'm gay, and I'm married," blah, blah, blah. And at this, so, you know, of course, when she first calls in and she's in love with Rush, she's, "Oh, yeah, I know. You're so awesome. Thanks for calling." And then as she segued into, "I am gay and married," yeah, Rush's response became a little more lukewarm. "Well, okay, you're gay and you're married, but at least you're a Republican. So I'm going to cut you some slack." Then somehow or another, she segued into something about, well, not something about, she segued into stating that she did not really think it should be necessary for people to get permission from the government to get married. Now, at this point, as you might imagine, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, I went berserk because I said to myself, "Hey, look, it's an anarcho-capitalist. She just doesn't know it yet." Now, at this point, I also said out loud to myself, because nobody else was in the room, I said, "How much do you want to bet Rush Limbaugh hangs up on her?" Sure enough, it is raining outside, yes. Sure enough, Rush hung up on this woman. It wasn't like slamming down the phone while she was talking, but, you know, radio, when somebody calls in and they're talking, and you can tell that, you know, it's easy. You just let them finish and the host starts talking, and then you hang up on them while you're talking, and the listener doesn't really necessarily get that the person was hung up on. I can pick this shit out because I've listened to so much talk radio and because I fucking do a podcast. Anyhow, she does her thing. She doesn't see why people should need permission to get married. The government should not be involved in marriage and issuing marriage license. She says these things. And then Limbaugh starts talking and he hangs up on her and he goes into this thing about how, no, the government has to regulate marriage. Now, this is the sad part. I wish I could tell you the justification Limbaugh had for why the government must regulate marriage and refute it. I can't, because I was laughing so fucking hard that I could not actually hear what Limbaugh was saying. Because I knew he hung up on her, because it's just like, well, no, and the government has to regulate marriage. And he started off as about, we just can't let people make this decision on their own, something, 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 and there is something about some guy, and I was just fucking laughing so hard at the fact that I predicted this, and that I knew Limbaugh would fucking go berserk at the thought that people should be allowed to get married without the permission of the government. So for those of you out there who are against Obama and against the liberal Democrats, and you're in favor of freedom, and you think the Republican Party might be your home, you know, if you're, well, Ron Paul, he's a libertarian. Yes, and libertarians, in the way the word is used right now, libertarians are not anarcho-capitalist. Libertarians are not even libertarians. Libertarians are a word being co-opted by Republicans to try to describe themselves. Ron Paul is a fucking statist. Julie Berensky is a fucking statist. Even John Stossel, who goes libertarian sometimes, he's a fucking statist. Most of the people at Reason Magazine, they're fucking statist when you scratch deep enough. But it was just, I could just imagine Rush Limbaugh's pudgy little face when this woman said, why do we need permission from the government to get married? The government should not be involved in licensing marriages. I can just imagine Limbaugh's fucking fat, like, heaving around under there as his body goes into contortions. As my throat goes into contortions. From not warming up my voice and from making fun of Rush Limbaugh. The rest of it was mostly uneventful. It was mostly a lot of him making fun of the welfare recipients being guided to healthy food and the 3% of the population being homosexuals. So there it was. I suffered through 3 hours of Rush Limbaugh just for you people, just so I could report in. Other than that, there was nothing about Obamacare, which I was rather expecting some kind of Obamacare something, something. All right, let's move. Let us move forth. I picked up a book. It's called Too High to Fail, Cannabis and the New Green Economic Revolution. It's written by a man named Doug Fine, F-I-N-E. And he is also the author of Farewell My Subaru, whatever the hell that is. So this is a book about cannabis legalization. And this was written in 2012, if I remember correctly. I'm looking to confirm that right now. Yes, first printing, August 2012. So this was before the legalization of recreational marijuana in Washington and Colorado. I started reading this book. I made it to about page 40, and I had to stop because his writing is not very good. And if I'm going to read a book, first of all, a lot of his writing is all of these constant jabs at Republicans. And yeah, I get that Republicans are idiots, but Obama is running the war on drugs right now, not the Republicans. The Democrats are supporting the war on drugs. And also, I mean, the jabs were not even really funny, but the point is, I'm reading a book about cannabis legalization, marijuana legalization. He doesn't like using the word marijuana. He's like, we have to call it cannabis. Oh, shut up, you fucking hippie. So you can tell this guy's a left-wing hippie who's in love with the Democrats. And his writing style was... the hell is that? There's something flying around outside the window. No, the other window. All right. Yeah? Yes, exactly. You go out and see what it is. I'll stay here. That way, if it's a monster, it eats you and not me. Exactly. Yes, no, we don't do that here. Randy and I both watch horror movies. Hey, there's something outside the window. I'll go out by myself and see what it is. Why, yes, that sounds like a brilliant idea. The rest of us will all split up and go in 4 different directions, and we'll make sure we don't take flashlights or weapons with us. The book is written in a very, very loose style, and by that I mean the book reads as if it were written by a stoner who was fucking stoned while writing it. And there's a lot of jabs at Republicans, which would be fine if they were actually funny, but they're not. So I gave up about 40 pages in because the writing style is weak, and also because it has no references, it has no, what do you call it? It has no references, excuse me. It has no fucking references. It has no, like, scientific data. There's no charts, there's no graphs, there's no references to any experimentation. There's no objective empirical data being presented. It's basically a really long op-ed piece, which isn't necessarily bad, but we're at the point in the possible death of the war on drugs, where at this point, we, as those of us opposed to the war on drugs, we need accurate information, we need numbers, we need statistics, and yes, I know I've talked in the past about how statistics are all lies and other shit. Yes, that's true. We need numbers, we need statistics, we need empirical data, we need shit that we can throw at the stupid people and just throw it and throw it and throw it until they're fucking buried under this shit and they have to fucking get over their attachment to the war on drugs. You know, for all the statism that's erupting and crushing us, you know, there's a possibility here, a possibility that we might be able to push the war on drugs back a little bit. Remember, legalizing, I've talked before, legalizing marijuana just means that marijuana is regulated and taxed, and instead of being arrested for simply having marijuana, you can be arrested for having slightly over a pound of marijuana. Or you can be arrested if you're smoking marijuana and you can be seen from a public sidewalk, right? Remember, you're not fucking free. Just because marijuana is quote-unquote legal here in Colorado, nobody has freedom. You can't grow more than so many plants. You can't have more than so much of it. You got to buy it at a designated place. There's certain places you can't smoke it. You got to be 21. You got to have a government-issued ID card. All this other shit, okay? You're still a fucking slave. You're still a fucking slave. But we, anarcho-capitalists, we, the anti-war, anti-drug warriors, may be able to push the war on drugs back. For the first time in years, we haven't been able to push back the NSA, we haven't been able to push back the Patriot Act, we haven't been able to push back the TSA touching little boys' cocks in airports, we have not been able to push back Obamacare. We might just be able to push back a little bit on the fucking war on drugs. And to do this, we need information. We don't need a fucking 306-page book written by a goddamn stoner where, like, every fucking two paragraphs, there's some lame-ass Republican joke that isn't even funny, and there's no fucking data in here. She's like, yeah, man, so I was, like, cruising, and, yeah, the cops pulled me over, and they're like, dude, do you have any marijuana? And I was like, no, man, but, like, dude, like, I'm a journalist, and I'm like, dude, I'm, like, writing a book about marijuana. So, like, dude, isn't that ironic that you pulled me over and asked me if I had marijuana? And, dude, there's a sign right there for Budweiser. Isn't that ironic? That's an actual event from the fucking book. The cops pulled him over, asked him if he had drugs, and he said, no, man, but I'm writing a book about the drug war. And look, there's a billboard right there for Bud Light or Budweiser or whatever. I mean, that's the book. It's just him, dude. And then, yeah, man, like, Republicans are fucking square, man. Wow, far out. We need good books written about the failure of the war on drugs. We need good books written about the medicinal value of marijuana. We need good books written about the economic value of hemp. And he touches on these things, but he touches on them very lightly, in a very stoned way. I'm telling you, read the book. This was written by a fucking stoner. You can tell. And he doesn't give you know, in something like that, you need giant chunks of data showing exactly, like, how much hemp can be sucked out of some acreage, and how much can be made out of it, and how much, you know, hemp is rejuvenates the soil. We need data on this shit to beat people over the head with. Hemp plants can produce an amazing amount of fiber. They can be used for all kinds of different things. You know, can be used hemp paper, can replace trees. Hemp grows faster than trees. We need solid, hardcore data on this shit. For example, like the, I'm getting out here, there's the two books written by Robert Bryce. The first one was Gusher of Lies. The second one is called Power Hungry: The Myths of Green Energy and Real Fuels for the Future. He talks about energy use and how the shit like solar power and all stuff won't work and yada yada yada. These books are fucking packed with charts and graphs and hard numbers and data and math. That's what we need. We need empirical evidence that we can fucking just beat the goddamn fucking drug warriors over the fucking head until they pass out unconscious, and then we can fucking rape their unconscious bodies and then piss on their fucking faces. We don't need books written by stoners like, oh dude, man, cool. Like, dude, they're like growing pot in California, man, and like it's legal, dude, and wow, man, it was cool. So the whole point of this book is essentially this guy likes to be a slave. I want to read a little bit of it to you. Listen to this shit. Now this is a quote from the, what is this? Okay, this is a quote from the 100% Mesendo supplied Orange County, California, Wilbur OC Cannabis Collective website. So there's this cannabis, at least in 2012, remember this book is 2 years old, there was these cannabis collectives apparently in California where you can grow cannabis and people can smoke marijuana, calling it cannabis because I'm trying to be a fucking fag like he is. It's marijuana is what it is. Ah, speaking of fags, I forgot to bring that up. It doesn't matter. Where are we on? Yeah, Randy, we are definitely going into two parts. Just fucking, you can beat my ass later, because I'll enjoy it. Don't let me forget to get the DVD thingy so that I can talk about that DVD series, because I forgot to bring that into the recording studio. Thanks. So there's cannabis collectives, apparently, in California, where they grow the cannabis themselves, and people are members of the collective, I'm calling it cannabis again, can smoke the marijuana. All right, this is what it says on their website. Quote, "We are Californians associating to collectively cultivate. We do not purchase, we do not sell. We pay tax on all transactions. We do not accept vendors. Membership is closed loop. Limited to qualified Californians age 21 and over who are allowed by state law to use cannabis." Unquote. Now, some of you out there, like you stoners and you hippies and you legalizing drugs crowd, you're hearing that, wow, that's great, man. Wow, that's far out, dude. They're not hurting anybody, man. And they're growing their own marijuana, man. Oh, cannabis, I'm sorry, dude. Yeah, dude. And they're, yeah, man, it's cool. Let me read this to you again and translate for you who are not ANCAPs what an ANCAP hears, what an ANCAP reads when he reads this paragraph. "We are slaves of the California government, associating, as long as the government allows us to associate, to collectively cultivate until the government chooses to shut our collective down. We do not purchase because we do not have permission from the government. We do not sell because we do not have permission from the government. And the government owns our bodies and controls our actions. We pay tax on all transactions because the government controls everything we do, and anytime we exchange money or value with another person, we owe part of that money or value to the government because the government exists and the government is our slave master and we are the property of the government. We do not accept vendors because our masters, the government, have told us we're not allowed to. Membership is closed loop because the government has told us membership must be closed loop, limited to qualified slaves of the state of California who are age 21 and over and have a government-issued ID card and have not committed any felonies or taken any other actions which their slave masters in the government of California will decide would disqualify them from smoking marijuana, and who are otherwise allowed by state law to use cannabis because we are the properties of the government and we are not free. Basically, through this entire book, he's constantly, yeah, and cannabis should be legal. And cannabis, we should pay taxes on cannabis. And oh, if only we pay taxes on cannabis, why, the government would have so much money. It's just that the entire book is this giant fucking slobber fest about how cannabis should be legal, how it should be regulated, and how there should be lots and lots of taxes. Many, many taxes on cannabis. Let me read to you from the book. Quote, page 33, second full paragraph, in case you're following along. The grower, already certified USDA organic for his duck eggs and produce, was 31-year-old George Fredericks. He shrugged at my astonishment at the scene in a welcome to Northern California kind of way and said, quote, I just want to be able to pay my taxes instead of being treated like a criminal. I farm a medicinal plant. Sorry, and ducks. Unquote. He just wants to pay his taxes. The marijuana farmer said, and we're assuming this is accurate because the guy who wrote this book is fucking stoned as hell. I don't know that I would believe anything in this book. The marijuana farmer said, quote, I just want to be able to pay my taxes instead of being treated like a criminal. Unquote. Oh, aren't you a good little slave? You just want to pick some cotton for the massa? Why, you wants the massa to let you pick cotton. That's all you want. You just want to pick that motherfucking cotton for massa. You just want to get into that gas chamber. You're a good Jew. You're hanging out here. You're just minding your own business here at the concentration camp. And all you want to do, you just want to get in that gas chamber for the Nazis. Because you's a good little Jew and you wants to do what you're told. Oh, you're a good little statist. I just want to pay my taxes. This is why I cannot get behind the marijuana legalization. I want the war on drugs to end, but the actual just getting behind, here, sign our petition to legalize, you know, when it was going, before it got legalized in Colorado, sign our petition to legalize marijuana. Get the fuck away from me. Get the fuck away from me, you fucking stoned little piece of shit. Because that's the attitude. We want to legalize marijuana so we can pay taxes like good little slaves. Fuck you. Fuck you. Apparently, in California, at least at this time, again, I don't know if this is still active, whatever, there is something called the 9.31 program. The 9.31, if I can fucking talk, referred to the number of the law or something like that. There was a law that allowed people to grow marijuana, and apparently the marijuana plants you could own was capped at 99, and each plant had to have a zip tie, a yellow zip tie, around the base of the plant that certified that your plant was registered and being counted as one of your 99. So you would get 99 zip ties. Apparently, the reason for the 99 is because under some federal law, again, I'm not an expert on this. If you know more about this than I do, by all means, issue any corrections. Because again, I didn't read the whole book because I couldn't stand the fucking stoner attitude. But apparently, to the federal government, 100 plants is this threshold where you move from, I don't know, being a mediocre drug grower to a big-time drug grower or something like that. So anyhow, to the federal government, there's something magical about 100 plants. So California capped it at 99 so as to not, you know, allow the federal government and the DEA that inroad. Oh, you have 100 plants. You're a fucking drug cartel or whatever. So that piece of information will... I needed to give that to you because that's going to factor in a moment. I got some more stuff I want to read here. Page 236. On the subject of slavery and being slaves and kissing the government's ass, I need to read this to you. This is, who wrote this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter who wrote this letter. This is a letter that some fucking piece of shit. What? No fucking way. Hang on. All right, sorry about that, gang. We're having computer issues, but not with the recording computer. That made no sense either. All right, yes, I will. Randy says I will now officially stop fucking with the computer or she will kill me. All right. It doesn't matter which fucking drug legalization faggot wrote this letter to Obama. This is an open letter to President Obama. And this, again, this illustrates why. Just like I cannot support people who want to legalize gay marriage. I cannot support people who want homosexuals to get permission from the masters. We own our own bodies, but we can't get married without permission. We need permission. This is why I cannot get behind the drug legalization people, because we need permission. We want permission. An open letter to President Obama. This is not a challenge or a threat. Only a sad personal statement. So that's really starting off strong. Why, yes, this is an open letter to the President of the United States, a man who murders people in foreign countries with flying robots and conducts the war on drugs and oversees the largest prison population on the planet Earth. Now, this isn't a threat, or this isn't a challenge. This is just me making a sad personal statement. I'm still your slave. I'll still obey whatever laws you pass. I'm so scared of you, Mr. Obama, and I really just want to suck your cock. I really want your ball sack in my mouth, but yeah, I want to smoke dope too at the same time, and I really want you to legalize dope so I can pay taxes on it like a good slave. The letter continues. I am an attorney, so that means he's the scum of the earth. My wife is a doctor. That means his wife got through medical school based on her gender because of affirmative action. We have 5 adult children. What the fuck is an adult child? Oh, that means your children all live at home because they majored in liberal arts. Support for the Democratic Party. Now, it actually says the Democratic Party. It is not the Democratic Party. It is the Democrat Party. Democratic is the process of a democracy. There is no such thing as the Democratic Party. It is the Democrat Party. You would think somebody who is an attorney and whose wife... God, my voice. And whose wife is... It's because I'm doing... Oh. You see me almost fall over backwards. I've only drank like half the martini. And I ate food before this. I'm not drunk, people. Almost fell over backwards. The reason I'm having voice problems is because I'm doing this whole fucking podcast so far in a smart-ass tone of voice. As opposed to my normal tone of voice. And that's strenuous on the voice box. Whew. There is no such thing as a Democratic Party. You would think an attorney who's married to a doctor and has five kids who still live at home. And since he got five kids living at home because they majored in liberal arts, maybe one of them could use Google to find out that there's no such thing as a Democratic Party. It's the Democrat Party. All right. I am an attorney. My wife is a doctor. We have five adult children living at home still. Support for the Democratic Party in our family goes back as far as 1972, when my father was a campaign manager for George McGovern. So his father was in politics. So this family is basically a bunch of low-life scumbags and affirmative action children. We as a family did everything in our power, financially and spiritually. Spiritually. Networking with people around the country to help get you elected president. Now remember, people who vote Democrat, they don't think Obama is a god. No. Oh no, they don't think he's a god. What kind of loser do you have to be to write a statement like this to a politician? We, as a family, did everything in our power, financially and spiritually, networking with people around the country to help get you elected president. You know what? If you have time and money to network with people around the country on the behalf of a fucking politician, you might have too much money and too much free time. Again, this is the worship. This is the great man. This is Obama's a god. Why, let's spiritually do everything we can to help him get elected. What kind of fucking loser-ass slave material are you fucking people? We feel this recent assault by the federal government on medical marijuana patients is, number one, an abhorrent waste of our precious law enforcement resources. Number two, an unwanted intrusion into states' rights to regulate medicine. Number three, perpetuates criminal activity. Number four, results in making marijuana more available to children. For the first time in over 40 years, we as a family withdraw our support for the Democratic Party. Signed, Greg Anton, San Rosa, California. Yes, I'm sure the Messiah read that letter, and I'm sure he cried. I'm sure he cried, Greg, to know that he no longer has the financial and spiritual support of your fucking family. This is not going to solve the problem, you fucking faggot. I did all that already. I'm looking at my notes. I have actual notes on this book. I talked about how this book is just all about, please, government, give us permission, and how there's no fucking data in here. There's no appendix. There's no references. There's nothing back here with footnotes, with references to scientific papers. Nothing. There's not even references to media, like when something happens where you could go in the media, like this incident was published in the California newspaper on this date, where there's nothing, there's no fucking, it's just a stoner just rambling about how cool it is, man, because wow, in California they have cannabis, dude, wow, it's so cool. Page 303, second full paragraph. I want to read this to you. Then in January 2012, it got even worse. U.S. Attorney Haig's office directly threatened the Mesquite County government with lawsuits and the individual officials with racketing charges if local legislators did not kill the zip tie program immediately. The zip tie program, that's the 99 plants of the zip tie. So this is the Obama administration. This is your fucking messiah president. This is 2012. George Bush was not president. This is the administration of your fucking nasty-ass, filthy messiah, whose ball sack you can't keep out of your mouth. The U.S. Attorney General threatened the legislators in Mesquite County if they don't kill the zip tie program. I keep reading. On January 24th, the County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 to eliminate the permitting part of the program. Plant limits in the county are reduced to 25. Zip ties are, quote, recommended and voluntary, unquote. And on the bright side, conditions that formerly applied only to 9.31 permit holders, including the prohibition on illegal water diversion, now apply to all marijuana cultivation in Mesquite County. So this is your messiah. His attorney general is threatening people. Here, California is trying to let these marijuana co-ops function, let these people operate within the law, grow their fucking plants, and the attorney general of your fucking messiah president is threatening them with racketeering charges. You fucking goddamn stoned-ass dope fuckers. You need to wake the fuck up and stop asking for permission. You need to call up your fucking homosexual pals in the GLBT, XYZ, MNY, PQZ, plural 4, 17, F, 3, 4, hike, go long, Joe McCarthy, fucking PC crowd. And all of you need to stop getting on your fucking knees and asking for permission from your fucking slave masters. Because you know what? I don't care if you want to ask permission, but the problem is you're fucking pathological need to have a slave master, your pathological need to ask permission, your pathological need to get a fuck, I don't even know if I'm using the word pathological correctly or not, and I don't give a fuck, your need to have a slave master, your need to ask permission, your need to have laws and regulations, your need to pay taxes, your need to have some fucking filthy ass black man in the president provide for you from your fucking cradle to grave existence because you're too fucking incompetent, your need to have somebody tell you if you're a food stamp recipient where the fucking healthy food is. All of your needs are being forced on me. So fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Ew, I just want to pay my taxes. I just want to pay taxes! I just want to pay taxes. I'm a good slave. But Massa, I just want to pick cotton. I'll pick lots of cotton for you, Massa.